Today, the stupidest tale of all. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, that is posts covering finance and property news. Once upon a time, in the land down under, there was a government who promised to build 1.2 million homes over 5 years, or 240,000 per year, or 60,000 homes per quarter. And he huffed and he puffed, but despite everything, the best he could manage, at least in the year to March 2024, was 162,600 home approvals. That's around 77,000 lower than the Albanese government's target, and the lowest level since March 2013. Dwelling construction has collapsed to at least decade lows, at the same time as population growth has surged by a record 660,000 or thereabouts. And of course, here lays the underlying reason why Australia is experiencing its worst ever rental crisis, with vacancy rates at record lows and rental prices soaring. The ABS said that the total number of dwellings approved rose 1.9% in March, that's season adjusted, after a 0.9% decrease in February. Approvals of private houses rose 3.8%, while approvals of private sector dwellings excluding houses rose 3.6% in March, again in season-adjusted terms, following a 12-year low in February. As I said before, the high-rise sector contained in the non-house sector is always more lumpy and volatile. Total dwelling approvals rose in Victoria at 3.2%, and Western Australia at 1.5%. It dropped in Tasmania down 18.1%, South Australia down 7%, Queensland down 5.2%, and New South Wales down 1.2% in March. And approvals of private sector houses rose in Victoria up 6%, New South Wales up 4%, Queensland up 3.2%, and South Australia at 1.1%. Only Western Australia saw a decrease down 1.8%. And the average approval value for a new house continued its annual rise in 2024 to $468,800 per house. That was 4.2% higher than the average value in March 2023, although the pace of growth in average approved values has actually slowed. Higher construction costs do continue to weigh on development approvals, with the average approval value for a new house rising in all states. In fact, by state, average approval value compared to a year ago rose the most in Queensland, up 10.1%, followed by Western Australia at 4.2%, New South Wales at 3.5%, Victoria 3.5%, and South Australia 0.4%. And the total value of buildings approved rose 15.9%, following a 16.8% decrease in February. The value of total residential buildings rose 8.3%, comprising of an 8.7% increase in new residential building and a 6.1% rise in alterations and additions. And by the way, the value of non-residential building rose 28.7% after a 16.8% fall in February. But a deeper dive into Victoria once again tells the same story. Recall that shortly before resigning as Victorian Premier, Daniel Andrews announced a 10-year goal of building 800,000 homes across the state, which equates to 80,000 dwellings each year. In fact, Victoria has never built more than 70,730 new homes in the calendar year, so meeting the 80,000 target would necessitate a major increase in construction activity. And once again, the figures are trending in the wrong direction. In fact, Victoria's dwelling approvals have crashed, with only 51,336 dwelling approvals for construction in the year to March 2024. That's around 29,000 less than the 80,000 target. And this was the lowest yearly dwelling approval figure for Victoria in the decade. Now, it's worth remembering, Victoria's population is also rapidly increasing, with 192,000 new arrivals in the year to September 2023, including 161,800 from net overseas migration. The REIV director, Richard Sampson, told the AFR that difficulties of obtaining suitable land as well as the supply constraints on labour and building materials, will render the targets unachievable. And he added that the problem is being turbocharged by the fact that we've got a significant inflow of migrants to Australia, many of whom are coming to Victoria. They need somewhere to live. And the Urban Development Initiative Australia's Victorian boss, Linda Allison, warns that Victoria's competitive prosperity are in jeopardy as demand for housing increasingly outpaces supply, leading to unattainable housing prices and a severely overheated rental market. The supply situation in Victoria is likely to worsen, in fact, as the state government's big build infrastructure program sucks construction workers and traders away from housing construction. For example, the state government ignored the advice of infrastructure experts and has signed contracts to build the suburban rail loop. That's a 90-kilometre rail tunnel around Melbourne, middle ring suburbs, that's estimated to cost $200 billion. And as noted by the urban developer, Victoria's Suburban Rail Loop East is moving forward with the Expressions of Interest campaign to build six underground stations. The first of the two contracts, the station's north package, comprising the Box Hill, Burwood and Glen Waverley stations, will be awarded in 2026, followed by the station's south package, Monash, Clayton and Cheltenham stations. So the notion that Victoria can build 80,000 homes each year for 10 years is totally absurd, given the state government has devoted the majority of the state's construction resources to its big build infrastructure projects, which will eat up available personnel, equipment and materials. And meanwhile, demand for housing will continue to skyrocket to extreme net overseas migration. The Victorian government projects that the state's population will swell to, wait for it, 11.2 million people by 2056, with Melbourne's population growing to 9 million. And the Housing Industry Association said in their release that the national mismatch between the rising demand from migration and constraints on the supply of housing is likely to see the acute shortage of housing stock continue to deteriorate. High-density housing development is being constrained by labour, material and finance costs and uncertainties, as well as cumbersome planning rules and punitive taxes, especially on foreign investors. This lack of new work entering the construction pipeline is occurring alongside record inflows of overseas migration and a pre-existing acute shortage of rental accommodation across the country. The positive news, they say, is that for the past 12 months, the volume of detached building approvals has remained relatively stable, albeit at their lowest level for a decade. There is growing evidence that the volume of new detached homes commencing construction will reach a trough in 2024, albeit at the lowest level since 2012. The volume of detached approvals nationally rose for the second consecutive month to be 0.7% higher than it was in the same quarter in 2023. Rising interest rates is a key factor slowing building activity, but there is an increased divergence evident in some states. Those able to deliver low-cost land are seeing more modest slowing in activity. And approvals for new houses in Western Australia contrast with the rest of the country and have been increasing steadily since the middle of 2023. House approvals in Western Australia are now up 33.2% higher than in the same quarter of the previous year. So it is possible to build the Australian government's target of 1.2 million homes over the next 5 years, but, they say, it will require significant lowering of taxes on home building, easing pressures on construction costs, and decreasing land costs. Well, it's probably not going to happen, especially given that the data from the Australian Securities Investment Commission showed a big jump in external administrations in March, with more than 7,700 firms going under in the 9 months to the 31st of March 2024. And within that, construction continues to lead the nation's insolvencies, with more than 2,100 firms going under in those same 9 months to the 31st of March. That's a 34% increase in the same period in 2023 and 155% above the 2022 levels. Home builders in particular are facing harsh economic headwinds. And indeed, CBA recently published data showing that Australian residential construction costs have soared by between 30 and 40% since the beginning of the pandemic. At the same time that construction costs have soared, land prices have also hyperinflated. This chart from Domain shows that the price per square meter has risen by between 33% in Melbourne and 58% in Brisbane, across the five major capitals. The only way to solve Australia's housing shortage is to reduce net overseas migration to historical levels of less than 120,000 per year. Net overseas migration must be lowered below the nation's ability to build housing and infrastructure. If we did that, then we could move from Albo's fairy tales to something more realistic, despite the reality that new construction will continue to grind lower while existing projects are taking ever longer to complete. So it is truly a fine mess, created by at least 20 years of bad policy, but frankly, Albo is chief fairy on top of the tree. It's time for mass policy change, otherwise population demand will forever exceed supply, and many ordinary Australians will be left literally out in the cold. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.